This is Matt Khalil, and you're listening to the Wobcast, hosted by Wobby.
Welcome back. It's another edition of the Wobcast. I'm your host, Mike Wobshaw, coming to you from TCO Studios at Winter Park. Week one is upon us. The Vikings getting ready right now to play the Tennessee Titans in Nashville to open up the season. Along with me for the ride today, as always, is producer Nate Vaughn, who after last week's show when we had the Pardon My Take crew is feeling rather, shall we say, motivated, empowered.
Yeah.
Hashtag
I have
give
a microphone.
Nate, yes. Hashtag give Nate a mic. It worked. Nate has his mic back, and he and I are going to break down this Vikings Titans matchup. That was, though, a fun Wobcast last week with the Pardon My Take crew.
It was. It's always fun to get someone from the outside, whether it's you know, like we'll hear later in the Wobcast, an Eagles insider, insider from another team, or just someone who is internet famous. Well, now famous. They've done well enough for themselves to be considered famous, but who's got a decent sense of humor about the Vikings, about the NFL, about sports in general.
Right. So listen to the rest of this Wobcast, and then afterwards, look up last week's, because it was pretty good, and we think you'll laugh. Not because I'm funny or Nate's funny. Nate, you are funny, but because those guys are funny. So check that out. But we have a jam-packed show for you to listen to right now, so don't leave yet. Coming up later in this Wobcast, as Nate said, Fran Duffy, who is the video content coordinator for the Philadelphia Eagles, he's going to join us to break down Sam Bradford and tell us what we have in our new quarterback. Also later today, three threats from the Tennessee Titans you need to watch out for on Sunday, and we'll get into the over-unders, of course. But we're going to start with a weekly recap and some talking points from this week as the Vikings prepared for the Tennessee Titans. Number one. Quarterbacks, of course. We need to start this part of the conversation out by saying we still love Teddy. So we don't want our, our sympathy and our sensitivity for the injury that Teddy is going through right now to fall through the cracks. There is a human side to this game, and unfortunately we saw a tough part of that last week when Teddy went down with a severe injury to his leg, and now he's back on the road to recovery, we hope. So our best wishes to Teddy. But with that being said, the Vikings have to move forward. And of course, head coach Mike Zimmer not saying who he's going to start on Sunday. Why would he? There is no benefit to announcing that. He did say he'll let the team know when he makes the decision, but he'll let the public know when the game begins and the first team offense trots out onto the field. Nate, I think you can make a compelling case to play both guys. So it's one of those where hindsight is always going to be 20/20, but I think sitting here right now before we know what the team does, you can probably make a case to go either way.
Yeah, I mean, it's almost like you have a rookie quarterback, sort of, that you just drafted.
Yeah.
You know, and then you have a quarterback who has experience, but, you know, may or may not be your long-term solution. I mean, you probably didn't bring Sam Bradford in to be a backup all year long.
Mm-hmm.
So, do you want to just throw Sam Bradford in with a week of playbook experience and on-field experience with the Vikings, or do you want to hold him off for a little bit? If you do that, how long do you hold him off? Lots of questions that, you know, probably we won't get direct answers to right away, or maybe even ever, but lots of intrigue at the quarterback position.
Yeah, there is, and that intrigue will remain if Sean Hill starts on Sunday. You know, because then the question remains, who's going to start in week two? If Sam Bradford starts on Sunday, you pretty much know that Sam Bradford's starting week two. So it's easy to say what I would do in the spot, because it's a very simple question for those of us on the outside. Mike Zimmer said yesterday during his press conference, there's a lot that goes into this decision, and I'm sure he's right, and I don't know but the tip of the iceberg on that. So easy for me to say that I'd go with Hill because it allows the offense to operate basically at full capacity, but I don't know everything that goes into this. So I think you can make a compelling case whichever way you go, and I'm sure that Mike Zimmer and Norv Turner will figure it out and do what's best for the team. So we'll find that out on Sunday at about 10 minutes after noon when the Vikings offense eventually gets out onto the field against the Titans. No matter what, the running game is going to be important, and it's going to be important for both teams. The Vikings need the running game to help take pressure off whoever it is that starts at quarterback. Plus, running the ball is the identity of this offense, and it was even with Teddy Bridgewater under center. It's important for the Titans, though, as well. This is the Titans' identity. They acquired DeMarco Murray in the offseason. They drafted rookie Derrick Henry from Alabama, and they have a heavy investment in their offensive line. Three first-round picks on that offensive line. Left tackle, right tackle, and right guard are all first-round picks. And then watching their games in the preseason, Nate, this is a team that really emphasized running the ball and used a lot of what you would call heavy formations. 22 personnel, which is two running backs and two tight ends. 13 personnel, which is one running back and three tight ends. They did that a lot in the preseason. And whether you're looking at this from a real football perspective, Nate, or a fantasy football perspective, you have to look at the Titans as a team that wants to run the ball, correct?
Yeah, they've made it known that that's their intention. And like you said, they've definitely shown that in the preseason. So it's no secret what they're going to try to do, and it's probably no secret what we're going to try to do either. Mm-hmm. I mean, you have Adrian on your team. You know that's going to be part of the game plan. So if on week one you're looking for a game that's going to be all over SportsCenter and the highlight reels and everything, this might not be your game. It might be more of a smash-mouth game, but got to think Vikings fans would be all right with that.
I think they are. That's kind of how they're, you know, that's in this organization and this organization's fans' DNA is that type of smash-mouth football. I think Nate's right. That's what you're going to see on Sunday. Avoiding the same opening week snafu as last year in San Francisco. That definitely has been a storyline this week, Nate. Now, neutralizing that a bit was the injury to Teddy, because that has kind of forced everyone to potentially lower expectations, and it kind of neutralizes that whole, the Vikings are going to march in there as big-time favorites week one on the road and win the game easily. That was kind of the narrative last year going into San Francisco. In that Monday night football game, San Francisco flips the script, ends up winning that game 20-3. So very contrary to what people thought was going to happen, the Vikings are going to look to avoid a similar fate this year against the Titans as they go on the road in week one as favorites. Never a great position to be in, but Nate, don't you think that's a teaching point for Coach Zimmer this week?
And you know Coach Zimmer loves his us against the world mentalities. Mm-hmm. You know, this is just another thing that he can use to motivate his team the way he likes to do.
Vikings fans who watch this game on Sunday, they're going to get to know someone that they don't know right now, and he is Jarrell Casey. He wears jersey number 99. He plays defensive tackle. He lines up mostly on the offense's left side, so you'll see him go against Alex Boone a ton, and even some against Joe Berger if he ever lines up over the nose, or if the Vikings choose to double-team him on the inside, it will be Berger and Boone. But mostly this is a Boone versus Jarrell Casey type of game. Third-round pick in 2011 out of USC. The guy has 28 sacks in his career. He was a Pro Bowler last year. Nate, for this week's taping of Vikings game plan, I picked out a bunch of Jarrell Casey tape for Pete Bursich to analyze. He has the film segment every week in that show. I picked the plays for him to analyze, and we go over it together. And so Vikings fans, check that out here in the lead up to the Vikings-Titans game, the Bursich film breakdown of Jarrell Casey, a very impressive player. Lastly, injuries. Coaches hate talking about it, but everyone loves taking a look at it for the Vikings. Nothing significant, I would say. Mykole Pruitt, who we hope is a contributor this year, is listed as a knee and did not participate in practice on Wednesday. Charles Johnson listed with a quad, and Rhett Ellison with a knee. They were limited on Wednesday. Matt Khalil on the injury report, but was a full participant in practice with a hip. A note on Matt Khalil, he has missed only 7 snaps in his entire career.
Wow.
Not games, not series, not quarters, snaps.
Drafted in 2012. 12. So going into his
fifth season. 7 snaps.
That's not bad.
That's it. That's pretty impressive. So he's on the injury report. Matt doesn't miss games, though. We expect he'll be out there playing, or at least we hope. All right. Player we should be talking about, Nate.
All of them.
We do, and we do talk about all of them. But I got one that we really should be talking about that maybe we're not. Linebacker Eric Kendricks. Do you like him?
I do like him. I like him as a member of the Vikings.
Yes. Very productive player. Didn't play in the preseason, so easy to forget about the guy because he didn't have a great preseason because he didn't play in the preseason, but he looked all good in the offseason, and he looked good at training camp. was dealing with a little bit of an injury, which is why he didn't play in the preseason, but he's good to go, is not listed on the injury report. He is a three-down linebacker. He is our Mike linebacker in base defense, and with Nate explaining that this is going to be a smash-mouth type of football game, with us guessing that the Titans are going to run the ball a bunch with their two-headed rushing attack and heavily invested offensive line, this is a big Eric Kendricks game because he'll be on the field most likely for every defensive snap. He was our leading tackler last year, despite not playing a ton early in the season. Wound up with over 100 tackles to lead our team. So this is a big game for number 54, Eric Kendricks. All right, let's let some others talk.
Yeah, you need a break.
Yeah, I'm going to take a break.
Have so a what sip of water.
Yeah. What do we got first?
Relax for a little bit. Well, first up, we've got Mike Garofalo. You remember we talked to him at training camp.
Yeah.
He visited Mankato. He answers the quarterback question for us.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe Coach should just, I mean, Coach probably has a good plan.
Like the big question he answered?
Yeah. Like maybe Coach could just see what Garofalo thinks.
Well, let's get him his number.
He's got a hot take when it comes to quarterback. So let's hear what he has to say.
It's going to come along, I think, a lot quicker than people realize. And it has to do with Pat Shurmur being a guy that's coached him twice before. So that's going to help him come along. The one thing that I saw when I looked at the quotes and I read some of the quotes yesterday, I still think there's a pretty good chance he starts this weekend. Wow. I really believe that. And part of that is based on history. Rick Spielman traded for Josh Freeman a couple of years ago.
Monday night game against the Giants.
Monday night game. It was not a great decision. But then again, Josh Freeman proved that I don't think he was ready to be an NFL quarterback in a number of ways. But they threw him right in there. I think it was about 7 to 9 days after they acquired him. So, and Spielman was a big part of that decision. So I wouldn't be shocked if they made this move right away and got him in there. But there's a chance that Sean Hill starts the first one and then they go.
Well, speaking of throwing him right in there, we're looking at this footage of practice. He doesn't even have a name on the back of his jersey.
What did you say yesterday?
I mean, it's just brand new. They could at least have the equipment guys print it out on the plane right there.
But they've got a lot of confidence in him.
Why does Pat Shurmur have so much clout in this league? Like, look, he was an offensive coordinator with the Eagles. He was the head coach of the Browns. And I said it yesterday that he was the reason.
We did a deep dive. It was
wild. I got a lot of tweets back saying, so is he the tight ends coach? Why? How did that come about, and maybe give us the origin of how Pat Shurmur got in the ear of the GM and helped make that decision?
Well, you're looking for, if you're a GM, you're looking for a reason to make this move. Why am I going to make this? How can I give up a first-round pick at this point and bring this guy in?
Good point.
But we've got to do something. We've got a running game that, again, is so good. And you saw Rick Spielman say that Sam Bradford's never had a running game this good, and that's why he believes in that confidence. So you say, well, okay, we've got this guy here who can help him come along, and he can teach him things, and he's comfortable with him. So that's a reason where you're saying, okay, we can make this happen here.
Yeah.
From Mike Garofalo to NFL's Elliot Harrison, does a lot of rankings, especially preseason, and then throughout the season, I believe he continues to do them. But he has the Vikings in his power rankings. He has every team in his power rankings. But you're probably interested to see where the Vikings end up.
Within those power rankings.
Yes.
And it's a good spot.
It is a good spot.
He said he's had to change it a couple of times, so we're going to let him explain where the Vikings are and why he's had to change it.
The Minnesota Vikings. How many times did they move around for you? Well, I had them at 8. Uh-huh. Then I dropped them to 15 because of Sean Hill being 36, maybe getting hurt. But then they acquired Bradford. So why did I not move them back up to 8? The problem for me is that this is going to be Sam Bradford's fourth system in 3 years. There's going to be an acclimation period. So while he is an upgrade to Sean Hill, I'm not ready to put them as high as they were with Bridgewater, who obviously has been in their camp for a few years.
He's an upgrade, but he's also working with Pat Shurmur, so that does help.
All right, let's continue our conversation related to Sam Bradford. To do that, we're actually going to bring in what I would call a Sam Bradford expert. The reason this guy is a Sam Bradford expert is because he works for the Philadelphia Eagles. He is one of our colleagues in the NFL. He does for the Eagles what Nate and I do for the Vikings. His name is Fran Duffy. He is the video content manager for the Philadelphia Eagles, a great X's and O's guy. So if you like hardcore football, he is a great follow on Twitter. You can follow him on Twitter at FDuffy3. His name is Fran. We bring him into the Wobcast right now. All right, we bring in our guest today on the Wobcast. It's one of our compadres in the NFL, someone from the Philadelphia Eagles, a great follow on Twitter. His name is Fran Duffy. He is the video content manager for the Philadelphia Eagles. You can follow him on Twitter at FDuffy3. You better be a big football fan because Fran brings it to you fast and furious. Lots of X's and O's and great football conversation from Fran. We welcome him into the Wobcast right now. Fran, my man, how you doing?
Mike, what's going on, man? Appreciate you guys having me.
Yeah, thanks for joining us. We appreciate your time, and a lot is going on for us, I would imagine. The same is true for you as well. I believe you guys open at home against the Cleveland Browns, correct?
That's right, yeah, Sunday, 1 o'clock. We've got Cleveland here, so really excited to get things going at home in Lincoln Financial Field on Sunday.
For you guys, just like us, a lot of talk around the quarterback, and that's because a big trade was made between the Eagles and the Vikings. Now, Fran and I had nothing to do with it, as much as we would each like to have been involved. We didn't, but it involved both of our teams, the Eagles sending Sam Bradford to the Vikings sending draft pick compensation to the Eagles. Fran, I was on my way to Mall of America because I had the morning off before afternoon cuts when I saw a tweet from Adam Schefter saying we acquired Sam Bradford. What were you doing that morning?
I was in the office, thankfully, so I had some time to get some things going here. But, you know, I was in the office, saw everything come down, and we were able to react pretty quickly as we were getting ready for final cuts as well. So luckily, I was a little bit closer to the home base than you were.
Yeah, I'm on my way to Mall of America with my family thinking I don't have to be in until like 2 or 3 o'clock when the cuts come down, and I couldn't have been more wrong. I needed to not be where I was going, and I needed to be in the office. But, I think one of those trades that's worked out between two teams where each team feels really good about it. It's fantasy football season. We all play fantasy football. We're going to be making trades. And when you make a trade, you always want to feel good about it when you walk away. I think in real football here between the Eagles and the Vikings, I think you can make a compelling case that each team can walk away feeling good. That's my viewpoint. What did you think about everything?
No question. And, you know, I think everybody echoes that sentiment on this side as well, where everybody's really excited for Sam to be there out in Minnesota. And then also for the opportunity that Carson Wentz has here in Philadelphia. Obviously, it's a great opportunity to get him on the field and see what he's got. He showed a lot of great flashes throughout the offseason, especially in the preseason game against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in the first week. So really excited to see him get into his first action. And obviously the Minnesota Vikings get a quarterback that can really help them compete for that division there in the NFC North in Sam Bradford.
Yeah, a cool thing about this, Fran, is these two teams are going to see each other later in the season, you know, and so that's going to be obviously there's going to be a lot of meaty storylines to follow, particularly with the trade of the quarterback. But, you know, before I think we'll talk more about that maybe that week. Maybe we'll see if you have time to come on again. But for now, tell us about Sam Bradford, because Vikings fans are starting to get to know him now, but it's only been, you know, a week or so. You know Sam really well. So, and less from a personality standpoint, I think people listening really care about what X's and O's wise, you know, what does Sam bring? So give us kind of your general assessment of him and some things that you like about Bradford.
Well, certainly the first thing is he's got an NFL arm. And, you know, that was one of the first things that stood out to me, getting to see him throw in person for the first time going into last season when he showed up for training camp, for mini camps in the spring and training camp in the summer. He's got that NFL arm, the ability to make NFL throws on a consistent basis. His accuracy is some of the best in the league. You know, he has the ability. You saw it in the third preseason game this past year against Indianapolis. He was just pinpoint accurate with every single one of his throws. He's got great ball placement, especially in the quick game. You know, when you're talking about those throws from 15 yards and in, he's got the ability to put it wherever he wants it, especially on those shallow crossing routes, those throws underneath. He does a great job there. He's a good decision maker. He's always going to take what the defense gives you, and that's something that he has always been able to do at every level that he's played, whether it was at Oklahoma, where he was a Heisman winner or a Heisman finalist, and then also in the NFL, whether it was in St. Louis or here in Philadelphia. If things aren't looking good down deep, he will check down, and he's going to take what the defense gives you, help move the sticks, and put you in position to put points on the board.
What did you think about his pocket movement, you know, and not just like breaking the pocket and picking up yards? I'm talking about being able to move around and avoid pressure. What was your assessment of him in that part of his game?
Yeah, you refer to functional mobility, you know, the ability to slide within the pocket, avoid the rush, keep your eyes downfield. He was always very poised in that manner, you know, and the ability to really see the field, not only from, you know, from deep to short, but then also have that peripheral vision to feel the rush around him and navigate that pocket, operate with bodies around him. He does that at a really high level. And that's another thing. Then there's a reason why, Mike, he was the number one pick and the consensus number one pick in that draft, because he brings all of those traits to the table for lots of different reasons. The, you know, the numbers haven't always been great. You know, everyone talks about, oh, well, you know, he's never finished with over 500 record. Forget all that. When you talk about a quarterback in terms of his traits and everything you want, he brings all of that to the table.
What'd you think of him in like 2 minute situations or hurry up, no huddle, that sort of thing?
Yeah, you know, he always, and he, definitely in terms of no huddle. I mean, look, the Eagles operated in a tempo offense for most of the time that he was on the field last year, so he should be very acclimated to operating in those no huddle situations, and certainly throughout his career has worked out of the huddle as well. So he's got that versatility to him, and he's always shown the ability to again, it's never too big for him. You know, mm-hmm. he's a pro's pro in terms of playing the quarterback position. So that's why, look, the Eagles, the plan was that he was going to be the starting quarterback, but obviously circumstances change. And for that reason, I think that's why both sides are really happy about this deal.
Yeah. You know, we had a chance to talk with him in our studio, Fran, that right when he got here, which was awesome. But, you know, since then, he's got so much to do so quickly. We've just kind of kept our distance. What kind of guy is he around the building?
He's great, man. I mean, he's a guy that, like I said, he's kind of a pro's pro, you know, so he's always business. He's always focused on the upcoming opponent, and you guys will get a really good sense for him. Obviously, everything I've been reading is that it is deep dive into the playbook, get ready to play this Sunday for Sam Bradford in Minnesota. But you guys will get a really good sense of what he is, and he's definitely one of those down to business, let's get going, let's win some games kind of guys.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, I think, you know, Vikings Nation really excited to get a guy like Sam Bradford here, given the scenario that they were in. But you guys are really excited about your quarterback situation as well. You bring in a new head coach, a free agent at the quarterback position, and then you spend an early draft pick on Carson Wentz. So tell us a little bit about what you guys are looking at heading into the season with the quarterback. You gave us a brief summary of Carson, but the quarterback situation in general and how Doug Peterson's been working with those guys, what have been your observations so far?
Well, man, it's really exciting, Mike, because obviously this playbook is just so expansive in terms of the multiple formations, the multiple personnel groupings, all the different things that they can do inside and outside the pocket. I think that you'll see a little bit more of that with Carson Wentz and the ability to roll him out, move the launch point. They've been working with Carson on a lot of mechanical things, but overall, I mean, he's got everything you want from a starting NFL quarterback, and that's why they traded up for him. He was the target to move up to the number two overall pick, using two trades in the top 15 to get there. He's got everything you want, especially off the field. I mean, he definitely has that presence that you really, really like from the position as well as the leader of the team. And it's just great to read everything that all the players and all of his teammates have said about him, not just in the last week, but since he's arrived here in Philadelphia. And on the field, he's got the arm. He's got the light speed. He's got the ability to read defenses. I was really impressed with him in college because he ran that pro style offense. He was used to being under center or in the shotgun. He was used in play action, which it sounds like really, really, really simple, but not a lot of college quarterbacks now are asked to line up under center, turn their back to the defense, and then turn, and everything's different from when they first looked at it pre-snap. And he was asked to do that. He did that at a high level. He attacked all three levels of the field. A guy that everybody's really, really excited about. So excited to see him in action on Sunday.
Yeah. Flipping the script on you here, let's go defense. You know, I think kind of the Eagles defense may be in a position here to be a very, very good looking group. A lot of guys coming into their own. What are you expecting from the Eagles defense heading into 2016?
I'm expecting a lot of big things. You know, yeah. I think that's kind of the sentiment around the building is, you've got Fletcher Cox, who is clearly one of the best defensive linemen in the league. And I don't know that he's seen that way necessarily on a national scale until last year, but he's been playing at such a high level really since he first entered the NFL as a top 15 pick. He's just outstanding in every phase of the game. He's got the high motor. He's athletic. He's disruptive. He's so strong at the point of attack. So a guy that's a dominant run defender and pass rusher. He had so many sacks a year ago playing in a 2-gap 3-4. So now that he's really going to be unleashed in this 4-3-1-gap attacking defense from Jim Schwartz, who has been such an established, you obviously are very well aware of what Jim Schwartz can do with an NFL defense, mm-hmm. seeing him so many years in Detroit. Jim Schwartz here is a defensive coordinator for something that fans are really, really excited about. You know, it's an aggressive scheme. Guys like Benny Logan and Vinnie Curry and Connor Barwin, Brandon Graham, all coming off the edge. The defensive line, you're going to see a lot of rotation there, inside and outside. Fans are really, really excited about this defense. Whether the safety duo, people are very excited about it as well, with Rodney McLeod, who was signed in free agency, and Malcolm Jenkins is potentially, you know, one of the top two or three safety duos in the NFL. So fans are really, really excited about this defense, expecting really big things in 2016.
Yeah, the NFC East is going to be a fun division to watch. It's wide open. You know, multiple teams that really are going to have the ability to win that division. Should be a lot of fun to watch that division, and Vikings fans are going to get an up-close look at it, because that is the NFC division that the NFC North will play this year. So the Vikings will see every team in the NFC North, including Fran Duffy's Philadelphia Eagles. Again, Fran on Twitter, at FDuffy3. Make sure you follow him. Great insight, X's and O's. Fran, you do a great job with that stuff. Do you love your job? Because it seems like you do.
Well, it's one of those, you know the famous quote, you never work a day in your life if you love what you do. So love what I'm doing. I appreciate the kind words. It's just another day in the office. You know, every day I come in and watch the tape and try and help spread that knowledge to the fans, because I think there's a thirst for that kind of all 22 access now throughout the country. So really just love what I do and appreciate the kind words.
Yeah, absolutely, Fran. Thanks. Thanks for your time. You're very gracious. We appreciate it on what is a very busy week. You guys open up against the Cleveland Browns. So Vikings fans, while you're watching the Vikings Titans, you can keep an eye on Fran's Philadelphia Eagles as well. Good luck, Fran, against the Browns. Have a good week, and we'll talk to you down the road, okay?
Thanks, Mike. Same to you.
All right, Nate, let's put a bow on this edition of the Wobcast with two quick segments that we carry over from last year that everyone really liked. What do you got?
Well, the first segment is going to be three threats. We take a look at three threats that the opposing team presents to the Vikings in the form of players.
Well, this is an aptly named segment then.
It's appropriate. It's right to the point. I think it serves its purpose well.
Okay. I have three.
Let's get into it. We'll start with the first one. It kind of makes sense. You can probably guess it. It's quarterback Marcus Mariota.
It is. And the running backs really are the engine that makes this offense go, I believe. But the quarterback's the quarterback. He touches the football on every snap. And this one is a franchise quarterback. The Titans took him with the second pick in the draft last year, and he had a really good rookie season. So this is a guy to watch. He's got great mobility, so he can move within the pocket, has that functional mobility, as Fran Duffy explained when we were chatting with him about Sam Bradford. Mariota has functional mobility, but he can get out of the pocket and throw very well and accurately on the run, and he can tuck it and run and pick up yards and extend drives with his feet. So he's a big-time threat. Vikings are going to have to watch him. They're going to have to rush smart along the defensive line, and linebackers are going to have to keep their eyes on the quarterback, because they're going to be responsible for not letting him break off those big runs.
So we've got quarterback covered. You mentioned the running backs and the running game. Mm-hmm. Obviously going to be very important. But let's not forget about tight end. They have a pretty good tight end that had a really good year last year.
I would say if you want a guy who can make plays out in space, Delanie Walker is one of the top three tight ends in the NFL.
There you go.
He had 94 catches, over 1,000 yards, and 6 touchdowns last year. Really good player. He wears jersey number 82. You'll see him involved in the running game a little bit as a blocker, but this guy's a pass-catching tight end. He can get down the field, great hands, catches the ball away from his body, good speed. So he is a threat on offense. Maybe their best pass catcher. I mean, I would feel comfortable arguing that he is. With apologies to like a rookie, they have a rookie receiver named Sharp who's really good. Andre Johnson, potential Hall of Famer someday, is on this roster. But I think for the time being, for right now, going into this game, Delanie Walker is their main threat in the passing game. Got to watch out for number 82.
Now we'll move to special teams for the third threat. Wobby, what do you got?
Returner Mark Mariani. Now, you may recognize this name, Vikings fans, because we saw him in the preseason against the Titans 2 years ago, and then Mariani was a member of the Bears last year. This guy was a Pro Bowl return man as a rookie back in 2010, played for the Bears last year. He actually had 2 muffed punts, I believe, against us last year. But now he's back with Tennessee, and the reason we have him listed as one of the threats is because I believe in our defense's ability to slow down this offensive attack. As good as they could be running the ball, I think the Vikings are going to expect that, know that, and be sound against the run. So to me, it's really important to be sound on special teams. It's not going to be easy for Tennessee's offense the way it is, but not making it easier for them by giving them good field position is key. So they have to take Mariani seriously as a returner. They have to be buttoned up in the coverage game on kicks and punts. And if they make this offense drive 80, 85 yards to score, I think the defense is going to be in even better shape. So that's why he's listed as one of the threats.
So there's your three threats. We'll now move on to over-unders. Mm-hmm. You got a clean slate.
Thank God.
Clean slate for you, Wobby. So the first over-under for week one, Adrian Peterson rushing yards. Mm-hmm. We talked a lot about their rushing attack. Let's not forget our guy's pretty good too.
Yeah, he's
so
good.
So let's put the over-under at 94.5. And you have a note as to why you chose this number.
Yeah, I do. Adrian, in 9 career week one games, Adrian has 954 yards. If you do the math, that is 94.8 rushing yards per game in week one. So the over-under is 94.5.
It's a pretty healthy average.
Mm-hmm. I think 28's getting the ball a bunch of times in this game, and I know the Titans know it's coming, but everyone's always known it's coming, and no one's been able to stop it, and they're not stopping it on Sunday. I mean, I'm on board with 28. He's getting to the 100-yard mark in this game, I think. He's certainly going to have the opportunity to do so, and I think the Vikings are going to be good enough in the passing game where eventually the Titans cannot put 8 men in the box on every single snap. When they don't do that, Sean Hill or Sam Bradford will get us into the right play, which will be a running play, and we will capitalize. So I'm over on this one.
Over for over under number one. Mm-hmm. The second, we're going to go back to their rushing game. Murray and Henry, their dynamic duo of running backs. How many rushing attempts will they have between the two of them? You put the over under at 30.5.
And I think this is a good number, and I think this will be a great number for the Titans once they get into the season, once they get into week 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Right away, though, I think they're going to give respect to DeMarco Murray. I think they're going to not rely on Derrick Henry too much because he's a rookie. So I think they're going to use him, Derrick Henry, but I think it's going to be mostly Murray. And so because they're not giving him both a significant workload now as much as I think they will down the road, I'm going to go under on this. Plus, I'm hoping we're going to be ahead in the fourth quarter, and so they're going to have to throw the ball a bunch. So I'm going to go under on this, but I think this is a good number for the duration of the season for these two. And I would also submit to you that if the Titans are getting to this number on a weekly basis, they're winning a lot of games.
There you go. So Titans Entertainment Network, listen in. You have something to shoot for.
Right.
Finally, over-unders, Minnesota and Tennessee kickoff returns. So yeah, combined kickoff returns between the two teams, you put the over-under at 6.5. So you can think there's two of them automatically.
Right.
At the beginning of each half. So basically, will there be 4.5 extra kickoffs?
Which we think there will be. But the question is, will they be returned? Because the rule change this year is intended to reduce the number of kickoff returns. And I think this is an interesting talker because I think it's going to have the reverse of the intended effect. I think you're going to see more kickoff returns this year because of the rule change. And next spring, when they go to the owners' meetings, they're not going to ratify this rule for the following season. What's going to because touchbacks are now at the 25. What they're trying to do is, when you catch a kickoff in the end zone, they're trying to incentivize you to take a knee, so that you don't return it. So they reduce the number of returns. But what I think you're going to see is teams not kick it to the end zone. I think they're going to kick it to the goal line, and they're going to put a lot of height on those kicks. And so while they're kicking it shorter, they're kicking it higher. And that's going to allow the coverage team to run down and be in position to stop the returner before he is able to get out to the 25. So if you can put it high enough to get your team down there and the returner catches it at the goal line, you can tackle him at the 18 or the 21 or the 22, why kick it to the end zone? You wouldn't. So I think the number on this is going to be under, but we'll see how it goes.
That's some analysis.
There we go.
It's your all 22 right there.
That's right.
And that's all the Wobcast.
Wobcast is over.
That's it.
But the season has just begun, which means you're going to see a Vikings game on Sunday. You're going to see 15 Vikings games after that, and you're going to hear many more Wobcasts after that. But for today, we're done. So on behalf of producer Nate Vaughn, I'm your host, Mike Wobshall. Thanks for listening today. Watch the Vikings on Sunday, and then come back to us next week as we analyze and look ahead to week number 2 against the Packers. See everyone. So yeah, I started with